As we enter this season of Advent, we are reflecting on the Advent themes represented in the person of Jesus Christ. These themes are not merely symbolic. They explain who Jesus is and how his birth was the fulfillment of prophecy. The first week of Advent was last week, and it spoke of hope, and still does, speaks of hope. Jesus was the fulfillment of hope for all those who had been waiting for millennia for his arrival as the Messiah. And he is our hope today as we place our trust in his word and person and await his second coming. Today we reflect on the second theme of Advent, that being peace, represented in the lighting of the second purple candle. So this was hope last week, and today is peace. In a world marked by turmoil, division, and unrest, we are invited to experience the peace that transcends all understanding. The peace that only Jesus can give. Today we are going to explore three aspects of the peace represented by Jesus himself and that we receive through Christ. The first is peace with God. That is the reconciliation of all humanity. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. When he speaks of access, he's talking about access to the throne of God, to God the Father. You see, he is a holy God, and there cannot be unholiness around him. Therefore, without Jesus Christ, we cannot approach the throne of God because we are unholy in every way. But only through Jesus Christ did he make that possible, that we have access to the presence of the Father. The first and most significant peace that Jesus brings is peace with God the Father. Through Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection, we are reconciled to God. What does that mean? If I were to say to you, congratulations, you're reconciled to God, there's just this blank stare, like, I know it's supposed to be awesome, but what are you talking about? Let's go back and let me show you where it started. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin came into the world, and death with it. And even though God loved his creation, we had joined the side of the enemy. We joined the side, I know it sounds like something from Star Wars, we have joined the rebellion, but this is a bad rebellion. And we did it through disobedience in our first mom and dad. We became enemies of God. All humanity became at enmity with God. By the way, when Jesus says, love your enemies, he's not kidding. He just did it first. And if he did it, he expects us to do the same. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. So here's what Romans 5:10 says regarding this. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. To bring us back to the other side, from the side of rebellion, back to God's side, the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins with his life. God's justice demanded that a wrong be righted. And Jesus' blood righted the wrong that humanity had done to God. Are you with me this morning? Thus, his blood was shed so that we could have peace with the Father once again. Sin had separated humanity from God the Father, but through Jesus we are justified and brought into right relationship with him. We are no longer enemies but instead friends and family of the God of all creation. It's incredible to think about. So the peace, this peace that we speak of in Christ and in our first application, is not based on our own efforts or merits, but on the grace of God. You see, we can never be good enough. Often when I'll ask someone, do you know Jesus? Their response is, yeah, I go to church. What they are telling me is that based on the good works that they do of going to church, therefore they are in right relationship with the Father, and not necessarily so. It is not through our good works that we are saved. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only way. And by faith in Jesus Christ, He gives us peace, a peace treaty, if you will, between God the Father and us. That is an everlasting peace treaty. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." You weren't rich enough. You weren't good enough. I don't care if you fed all the orphans in the Middle East. I don't care if you help everybody move that ever needs moved. You can't win points to heaven. It is only through Jesus Christ. So that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What does he mean by that? He means, well, I've done enough good. I'm getting into heaven. I'm getting into God's presence. It's kind of full. That's pride. And it's arrogance. And it's error. Because it is only through Jesus Christ that we can even come into God's presence. So Christ brings us peace. So as we reflect on the Advent season, we should remember that the coming of Christ was a declaration of God's will. See, God wanted this. Of God's will to have peace with us. Christ's birth, death, and resurrection beckons us to rest in the assurance that we are no longer at odds with our Creator. You see, it's good news. And when Jesus comes again, we will enter into a glorious place where we will experience peace in the presence of the Lord forever. We talked about this last week. Only because of the peace that Jesus Christ brought between us and God the Father will we have an inheritance so incredible we can't even imagine it. The Bible says, no eye has seen nor ear has heard. You can't even imagine what I have planned for those who love Jesus Christ. Man, that is a promise we can hang on to. Thank you, God, for the peace that your Son brought us. The second piece that Christ brings is the peace of Christ within. Flip over back in your Bibles to John 14:27. John 14:27. Now this is Jesus talking. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There's a lot of people that use that phrase. It didn't originate with them. It originated with Jesus Christ. Jesus offers us an inner peace that the world cannot provide. This peace is not dependent on circumstances, but is a deep, abiding sense of calm in our hearts. In the midst of life's challenges, Christ's peace assures us that we are secure in His love and His presence. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I've shared with you before, this is one of my life verses. It's not enough to know that this verse exists in the Bible. It's not enough to hear it appear on a Sunday. It's not even enough to read it in your home devotions. It's living it out. It's believing the Word of God and what He says. I've shared a story with her before. I've had to confess this verse this week on just some things that, you know, life. Stuff that could have easily kept me up during the night. And I just prayed this verse because I've committed it to memory. So, and then I did that little tool. You remember the tool last week? I did that in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. I'm lying on my bed. After confessing this verse, I just picture myself, all right, I'm taking those issues that are trying to keep me up right now. I'm putting them in a bowl and I'm handing them to Jesus. And then I'm watching Him throw it over His shoulder. My last words before I drifted off to sleep was, Jesus, You got this now. I'm going to sleep. So the story I was going to tell was, it's one thing to plan for a new car. It's another thing to buy a new car when you have to and you haven't planned for it. And we're at a time, about 10 years ago, trying to budget like everybody. You know, we have our savings and stuff allotted for things that we're planning on. And we had a car engine blow up because Leona didn't put any oil in the engine. And I'm just kidding. It was me, okay? I didn't drive the car, you know, I wasn't thinking about it. It was the one she drove, but it was my responsibility. And she's like, what's that check engine light on for? Like, oh, it's not a Christmas light. So anyway, make a long story short, we had to get another car like the next day. We both had stuff going on. One was across the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. On the other side, I was doing real estate. I had the clients and stuff like that. So I had to go down to Honda and buy a car, the very car that I'm still driving over there. And had to get it. I traded in the one with the engine light on. They knew it was on. They knew what they were getting when they got the car. But basically told me, your engine's dead. We'll, you know, give you pennies on the dollar. All right. So suddenly we're staring down the barrel of a huge monthly payment for this new car. And in the middle of the night, I've had the first panic attack I've ever had in my life. I mean, I've been around guns firing off and chasing bad people and stuff like that. But this is a little different. It was unexplainable. Maybe some of you can identify in here. But it was panic, and it's like, I could barely breathe. Oh, no. Oh, no. How are we going to make this payment? How are we going to do this? And my mind began running down, you know, my mind's running to, like, our family's in the food line in downtown Dallas. You know, it's cold, and I'm like, what are we, you know, going to do? My son's going to get taken away from us. All I could do. But the Lord knew what was going to happen. And that week, He brought my attention to this verse. And He moved on my spirit, commit this verse to memory. So I began memorizing it just that week. And when that panic attack hit, the only thing I could do was pray this verse over and over again. I probably did it 10, 15 times, just over and over again. Be anxious for nothing, everything. And I'm telling you, it left just like that. It left just like that. I was able to go back to sleep. Now, you think that was the end of the story, right? The next night, the spirit of fear, anxiety, and worry came back and tried it again. All right, I'll get up. And I began confessing this verse, praying it out loud, commanding the enemy to get out of my life, get out of my family's life. I went right back to sleep. You think that was the end of the story? The third night, He comes back. And I go, oh, no, not this time. I'm not even getting out of bed this time. in the name of Jesus, I will be anxious for nothing, but in everything give prayer and thanks. And prayer and thanks. What is the verse? I can't even memorize it now. A prayer, a petition, with thanksgiving, I will present my request to God. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you have no power over me. Get out. Went right back to sleep. And that was the last time. The last time I ever had a panic attack. And I've been tempted to worry about things before, and I just pray this verse. It is a promise of peace that Jesus gives to us. It's his promise. Look at the promise right here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, which means I don't understand why it is in this moment that I'm not just freaking out because I have the peace of God in me. And the peace of God is guarding my heart and my mind through the power of Christ Jesus. We do not find lasting peace in material things. Oh, if I just had $1 million. Oh, if I just had the lottery, then I would have peace. No, you wouldn't. You'd have more problems than you could even imagine. Maybe if I was just famous. No. You couldn't even eat your food in a restaurant. Somebody coming up asking for your autograph. Disrupting your peace. Some try to find their peace in other religions and even occult practices. You know, some do, actually. Are you familiar with the monks and like the Tibetan monks? They just spend all day just kind of, you know, chanting in circles and watching the snow fall. Man, they have a peace, but it's a delusion. It's a false peace. It's not a lasting peace. Everyone, it seems, is searching for peace because there is a God-shaped void in our hearts that we are all born with that longs for peace in relationship with God. It's a relationship that we knew before the fall, as I had mentioned earlier. So we'll turn to things that only provide an illusion of peace, but sooner or later, it's going to fail us. True peace and lasting peace come only from a relationship with Jesus. And it is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us that produces this peace. As we learn to let that peace spring forth during our daily routines of life, and especially the storms of life, we will steadily conquer our fears, our anxieties, and our worry. We don't have to receive the punch from anxiety every time it comes. We declare the peace of God upon us and in us. We take authority over anxiety and fear and worry. Say, no, you will not have me in the name of Jesus. Because the Word of God says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition. Petition means prayer. Just keep doing it. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard my mind and guard my heart in Christ Jesus. So in the hustle and busyness of Advent, we are reminded to seek and embrace Christ's peace within us. We don't have to let the worries and anxieties of life overwhelm us because Christ's peace fills our hearts with hope and assurance, especially as we learn to walk and trust in God's Word. Now, admittedly, this doesn't come easy for some of us. Man, don't let the devil tell you you're a failure because you try it, and it doesn't leave right away. It takes persistent application of God's Word. And you will see victory because this is His promise to us. Don't throw in the towel. Oh, it doesn't work for me. Petition. Keep at it. Take baby steps. You know what I mean? By baby steps. Not everything is a whirlwind of anxiety and fear. An F5 tornado of fear coming at us, right? Where we have to stand and fight. Man, sometimes little fear, little anxieties come at us in little ways. Baby steps. We take authority over those fears and those anxieties. And we start building a path of faith and trust. Then when the big things come, we're already good at overtaking the little things, you know. The third type of peace that Christ brings us is peace with one another. This is the call to reconciliation and unity. In Ephesians 2:14, the word says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." Well, that should change your life. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? So let me build some context here. When Christ came, the Jewish people found it hard to believe that the Messiah would rub shoulders with sinners. He would touch lepers and those considered unclean by the religious rules of the day. He would even touch the dead, which was also forbidden to do. He often commended Gentiles for having faith greater than his own people. And this caused many Jews to denounce and reject him, eventually even to crucify him. There were the Jews, and then there was everybody else called Gentiles. But every person he healed, touched, and embraced broke down a little bit of the cultural wall that had separated the Jews from the Gentiles for millennia. And the Jews would learn that Jesus came to die for all humanity, not just the Jews or a select few. His birth would signal that the end of separation had arrived. But Jesus came to reconcile all humanity to himself and to the Father. Galatians 3:28 says, Therefore there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. See, these are all cultural walls that Jesus came to break down. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus has brought peace to our cultural walls and has united us. You know, we in here, we're of different color, different backgrounds, but God has united us all. We are of different families and different makes and places, but God has united us all in the peace of Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate reconciler who breaks down barriers of division and hostility, bringing unity between people. And this is love, and this is our model. As we prepare for Christ's second coming, we are called to be agents of peace in a fractured world. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, "You're an agent of peace." I did that for two reasons. The first is to make sure you're still awake. And the second reason is because we need to know what our calling is. We are called to be agents of peace. So what are our takeaways? Well, the first is to be peaceable one event at a time when tempted to act out. Start small. Know what I mean by this? You feel that little bit of agitation. Somebody's ruffled your feathers. You're tempted to just blow your stack because this is what we do, right? For an agent of peace, we say, no. I'm going to be peaceable with this person. I'm not going to take offense. Start with the small things first. You know, just that little... You know, you're about to walk through a door and the person lets it slam in front of you. You know? You're like, "Thanks for nothing." I'm not, you know, a little quip back to them. I don't know about you, that just bugs me to death. But in those little small moments, it's not a big deal, right? In the big scope of things. I mean, there's wars in the Middle East and all these things. Like, the guy let... door slam in my face. In that moment right there, just go, "No, I'm going to be peaceable. I'm going to bless him. Lord, bless that person." That's how we are to be peaceable and how we can be peaceable with somebody. Just take small steps. And as we get better at it, the bigger steps will come easier too. The bigger things. I remember a chiropractor I used to see. I'll never forget him. is hilarious. We talk about him all the time. He's just a little funny elf guy, you know. And but he was a black belt, like a triple degree black belt in karate. And he's smarter than, he's always the smartest guy in the room and very personable and everything. And he told me one day, he's at a car wash, and this guy like splashed mud on his pants, you know, as he's walking through a puddle. And he said, in that moment, and he's not even a Christian, he goes, man, in that moment, all I can envision was putting my boot up against the side of his head and then putting his face down in the mud. And he said, but, I'll use his name, he'll never hear this. Anyway, but no, but Brian, and he's talking to himself, you know, I'm just not going to be, and he used a very colorful word, I'm not just going to be that person today, an unpeaceable person. I'm just going to be peaceable. I'm going to let it go. Man, that's the type of person we need to be when little annoyances pop up. Just be peaceable and be the first person to make peace when you have the opportunity. Now, here's the second one. Here's how we can really put this into practice. It is declare peace over tumultuous situations. That is the cutest sound. I'm serious. I just love him. I know, man. It is awesome. So we declare peace over tumultuous situations. So here's our promise. If you're a Christian, this promise is for you. Most assuredly, I say to you, John 14:22, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. If you remember, he's going to the Father to send the Holy Spirit who empowers us. It's a promise. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. Okay, what were the works that he did? Well, Jesus did a lot of them. But we are talking about declaring peace over tumultuous situations this morning, the peace of God. So specifically, one thing he did was, look in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 39. I have it on the screen. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. That means they're going to cross the lake, a big lake. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up. And the waves... that's something funny. Anyway, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Talk about someone who sleeps with peace, right? The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up. He rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, here's the key here, quiet. That word in the Greek is siopao. And what it means is peace. Then he said, be still. And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. So we have the promise that we're going to do the same things Jesus did and even greater things. This is one of the things Jesus did, was declare peace over the storm. Well, that's good for Jesus. But what about me? Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it's not an if, it's saying it does. Dwells with you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So here's our promises. We can do anything that Jesus did. One of the things he did was speak into a storm and calm the waves. And the third thing it is that Jesus' power lives in us to do the very same things he did. So when we're in the storms of life, when we're in a tumultuous situation, when there's chaos all around us, when our families are at each other's throat, when we're at our neighbors are at each other's throat, wherever chaos is found, wherever sin is just wreaking havoc, we say to it, peace be upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare peace in this situation. And I believe that I will have what I've prayed for. Because the peace of Christ and this power lives in me, and I declare peace over sin and chaos in the name of Jesus. Just as God spoke over the waters and there was calm. He spoke into the chaos. We can speak into the chaos and declare the peace of Christ, and we can expect peace to come because that's what Jesus did. Amen? And Jesus made it possible when he came to this earth. First as a little baby, but then when he died for our sins, we have peace with him, and when he rose again. So I want to conclude today with bringing it full circle back to Advent. The peace of Advent is a peace that touches every part of our lives. It's peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with one another. And as we prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ, may we practice peace. May the Prince of Peace reign in our hearts and our lives, transforming us into the vessels of peace for this world. That is our calling. That's our mission. Amen. Let's pray. Please bow your heads with me. Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, we thank you for the gift of peace that you offer to us and we celebrate during this Advent season. Help us to experience peace with you. Peace within ourselves and peace with others. And may your peace shine brightly in our hearts and in our world. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week and a safe week. We love you. Hope to see you again.